John Hendricks and Robin, you need to be on your best behavior because
that's right. The red and blues come on and trouble for me.
Okay. His Honor, our current Justice of the Peace, Paul Sullivan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning, you bet. So you've been Justice of the Peace now for a few years.
Yeah, this is my sixth year.
Yeah. So you're ready for a promotion.
Well, I'm hoping so. I filed to run for district court. Bob Allison is retiring. He's leaving an open seat. It's something I wanted to do for a long time, and the timing is right. There's an opening, and so threw my hat in the ring and trying to get my name out there and make my case for why I'm the best guy for the job.
You know, Bob Allison and I went to school together.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
He's retiring, and I'm still working. What's that all about?
That's not fair. Right?
I know. In any event, he's captured some pretty rough cases in the time he's been on the bench, and, you know, help us understand the difference between the cases you've been handling as Justice of the Peace and what you would handle in district court.
So Justice Court is what's called a court of limited jurisdiction. So it can only handle certain types of cases. On the criminal side, that's misdemeanor cases. We're talking anything from a speeding ticket up to maybe a DUI or a domestic violence situation, as long as it's not too bad. The longest I can sentence anyone to jail is a year. The biggest fine generally I can give is about $1,000. It goes up every now and then. On the civil side, I've got a limit of $14,000. We say in controversy, that basically just means that's what they're asking for. The most I can give them back is $14,000 on any given case, right? I see a lot of landlord-tenant cases right now on that, small claims, just two people fighting over who gets what, and that sort of thing.
You know, this is important because what you're doing is you're eliminating things that, could wind up to be altercations.
Hopefully, yeah. And we talk about Justice Court being sort of the first line in the justice system. We handle, you know, thousands of cases a year. Most people in the county, if they've had contact with a court, it's with Justice Court. And that's where most everything starts. And if we can get a handle on it, get things under control, they don't escalate up to the bigger cases that go to district court.
And this is all, I've never quite understood quite how you get elected to a position like that. I mean, what are you going to promise people? You can't say, oh, I'm going to take better care of you than him. Well, you will.
Well, and the rules for judges, I can't promise anybody anything. When you file to run for a judicial position, you're bound by the judicial canons, which I would be anyway because I'm already a judge. But I can't tell you how I'd rule on any given case. I can't make it sound like I'd give anybody better treatment than anybody else. I can't tell you anything about anything that I would do, which is pretty much the opposite of every other political race, right?
Yeah. So how do you do this?
I try and get out there and let people know who I am, let people know what I care about, where I come from, what kind of person I am, and hopefully make them comfortable with me being the person who's making those decisions.
And these are nonpartisan races in Montana. So what do you say?
I talk a lot about myself. I tell people that I grew up in Big Fork. I tell people that my mom grew up in Big Fork. In fact, go back far enough and my great-great-grandfather, Joe Gagner, was the first sheriff of Flathead County.
Wow.
I'm trying to follow in his footsteps maybe a little bit and give back to the community. I'm raising four children with my wife in Big Fork. We care deeply about this community for our own sake, but probably more for our kids. You know, they're the reason I get up and do most of the things I do anymore. And not only do I live here, but I hope my kids will continue to live here the same way my family has for generations. And I want this to be a good place for them.
Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, your wife is an attorney.
She is, Mary Beth Samsel. She is a powerhouse and wonderful and the best part about getting up lots of days.
That must be some interesting conversations at the dinner table.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes we joke about how I spend my day with everyone standing up when I walk into a room and doing all these things, and then I come home and the tables turn a little bit.
Nobody gets up. Yeah, that's funny. Now, it's interesting, our elected officials, one party or another generally, but when they're elected, John and I have asked, well, who are you going to represent now? Because you want everyone, the entire electorate, to be represented even-handedly. And that goes without saying. That's what a judge does. And you, now as a justice of the peace, you are evaluating the circumstance in harmony with the law. How would that be different at the district court level?
It'd be exactly the same in the terms you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
The cases are bigger, the stakes are higher, but the process is more or less identical. Mm-hmm. Because justice court is sort of the first line, and we talk about it being the people's court, it's a place where people can come in. The rules are a little more relaxed at times in justice court, where they're a little more formal in district court. You're more likely to see two lawyers on a case in district court than you might see in justice court. And so for that reason, you can have more formal rules to try and get to the result. But you know, you talk about who I'm gonna represent and it being everybody, but part of being a judge is this adversarial process, right? Where I have a case in front of me with two different sides, and the idea is that everybody comes in and they make their best case and they give me all the information that I need to make my decision, and then I have to pick. And the easy thing about that job is the legislature has given us the laws. All I have to do is read those laws and apply them to the case. I don't have to create new laws. I don't have to represent any given constituency in deciding how to enforce the laws. The laws are set. All I have to do is read them and enforce them. Well, enforce is kind of a funny word there, but apply them mm-hmm. to the case and make a decision.
The thing is that it isn't always black and white.
Well,
the cases aren't always black and white. Let me put it that way.
Absolutely. And I'm glossing over a whole lot of work
sure.
and a whole lot of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about Bob Allison having a number of high profile, messy cases that mm-hmm. are difficult to do. But the nice thing for me is the law is the law. All I have to do is read it and figure out how to apply it to the case.
But it's not just you. You have a staff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In district court, you get a law clerk who helps you do the research, prepare briefs before a hearing, do some writing after the hearing. You have a judicial assistant who can manage your calendar and do all that. We've got the district court clerks who run the clerk's office. That's Peg Allison's office. And those guys do tremendous work. Peg's actually retiring this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She and her husband probably go fly fishing. At least I know he already has. So, Mike Allen.
Yeah, he used to teach me tennis.
Yeah. So, but help us understand a bit about when you get a case like that, particularly one that's difficult, a lot of angles to it. You're not just sitting there saying, "Boy, what do I do?" You have people that are going to help you make that decision, and you have resources that you can go to.
To some extent, but part of being a judge is just taking in what happens in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. I don't go out and do factual research. I don't go out and try and figure out what happened in the case. They have to bring it to me. Now, the law is different. I go out and I research the law and I read the law. I do that every day, not just for a specific case. But then when something comes up, you can dive in on that point. But my job is to take what the parties give me, what the lawyers give me, what the people in the case give me, and apply the law to that. So I don't have to be, not only do I not have to be, I cannot be proactive about telling them how to do their case. I can't be proactive about telling anybody what the law should be. They bring it to me, and I make a decision based off what they bring to me.
But the other part of it, and we're seeing a lot of this now on the national level with what's happening with our former president, judges are really on the spot now because you have got to be fair to everybody.
Well, I hope that's always been the case.
But I mean, you have to really be on your toes now because there's probably more people watching what you do than ever before.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I hope that whenever anybody's watching, they would see that I try and be fair. I try to be fair to the people in my courtroom. I try to be fair to the people I see in the store when I'm buying my groceries. I try to be fair with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you should be able to expect from a judge.
Are there any cases you've had as justice of the peace you wish you could have done differently? I mean, you could have decided differently. You wish you could have maybe it would have turned out differently.
I don't have any cases that I wish would have turned out differently. I wish there are cases that maybe had a better result that helped somebody not come back, but then they did come back. Those, mm-hmm. those ones are sometimes hard. I revisit my cases constantly in my head afterwards. And there are some that I remember more than others. And I try and learn from everything. I try and think, well, what could I have done better there? How could I have approached this better? How could I have done this better? But no, to directly answer your question, I don't have mm-hmm. any cases that I think back and go, man, I really got that one wrong.
You know, I thought about district court. The way you've explained it, it probably gets down more to, well, I think that attorney should have done a better job of presenting the information, because both sides are presenting the case there, right?
There are days, and I'm far enough out now, 6 years, but especially at first when I transitioned from being a lawyer to being a judge, there were days where I wanted to, or not wanted to, but I had to bite my tongue a little bit to temper some of those lawyer tendencies of advocating and trying to push something. And remember that, no, my job is to take what I get.
Yeah.
Occasionally I get to write an order and maybe point out what I think could have been done differently and encourage them to fix that, especially if I can do that early on in a case, maybe we can get it resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then sometimes maybe it's just a learning experience for them for next time.
Well, you know, I just about exhausted everything I know about what you do. So I just want to give you a couple of minutes here just as a free form of consciousness and, you know, just talk with us.
That's a terrible idea. You should never tell a judge he can talk as long as he wants about whatever he wants. No, I really appreciate the opportunity to come here, to talk to you guys, to talk to your audience here. You know, sort of like we talked about, it's hard to get the word out when you're running for judge. This political season especially, there's a lot of really big items on the ballot. And so any opportunity I get to try and tell people who I am, what I'm about, I sure appreciate. I'm running for judge because I was a lawyer for 10 years. I've been a justice of the peace for 6 years. I'm deeply rooted in this community and committed to stay here for the rest of my life, and I suspect for a number of my children's lives as well. I care very deeply about what happens here for my kids, for everybody's kids, and just trying to do my part to make this a better place. In being a judge, I'm committed to following the law as it's written. I'm not looking to legislate from the bench. I'm not looking to change the law. That's not my job. I'm just here to interpret the law the legislature gives me, to apply it to the cases as they come before me, and to be as fair as I possibly can to everybody. I really do try to be super respectful of everyone. You know, one of the things you talk about, what could I have done better? I spend a lot of time thinking about if I were that person, whether I did it, whether I didn't do it, whether I was right, whether I was wrong, how would I want to be treated? And that's one of the points that I really feel like I've grown over the years and gotten better at treating everybody the way I'd want to be treated when they're in my courtroom.
You know, you remind me of a Confucius saying that's one of my favorites, and maybe we should conclude it with this. If what is said is not what is meant, then what ought to be done remains undone. If this remains undone, morals and art will deteriorate. If morals and art deteriorates, justice will go astray. If justice goes astray, the people will stand about in helpless confusion.
I like that a lot.
You can steal it. It'll be twice stolen if you use it.
Well, I'll have to look it up because I'm not going to remember it right there, but I'll find it.
Well, I think that is the crux of what you've been saying.
I think so, too. I really, that resonates with me. I like that a lot.
All right. Paul Sullivan, thank you so much.
Hey, Rob and John, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate
it. Sure. Great conversation.